you're a huge football fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge. Like, have you been to a World Cup yet or no?
No. I've been to a European Championship. Yeah. I guess it was the 2008 European Championship. I went there with a couple of buddies, and that's the closest I've been. But I've always wanted to go to a World Cup. Uh-huh. I just never had an opportunity until now. And then we looked at this one, and we went, well, the next was in Russia, and the one after that in Qatar. So I think if we were going to go to a World Cup, I think this was the one.
Qatar it is.
Yeah.
How much would it be for an average price, give or take, a ballpark figure of going to a World Cup? Like, what would it be?
Well, when you put it all together, like with flights and hotels and tickets, you know, and then expenses, we're guesstimating it's going to be about, you know, a $5,000 trip.
$5,000. And were tickets hard to come by, or are they?
Well, you had to enter a lottery, the FIFA ticket lottery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened was is we didn't know, we wanted to follow Chile, because I was born in Chile before I moved to Canada. So that's where I, that's why Chile's my team, basically. So my friends and I, we wanted to follow Chile around. So we applied, you have to apply for tickets as they come, type thing. So it's kind of like ticket lottery. So you look at what games you want to go to, and you basically apply for the lottery, and then FIFA gets back to you in like a week or so. And they say, yes, you've won the lottery, you have these tickets, or no, you didn't win the lottery, and you didn't get these tickets. But there was three or four chances to try and get these tickets, because as tickets became available, basically FIFA said, okay, you guys can re-enter the lottery and try to get them again. So between the four of us, we were able to get tickets to like 8 games.
Oh, wow.
And then once we got tickets to those games, and then we got tickets to a second-round game, and then we also got what they call these conditional follow your team tickets. Mm-hmm. So basically, if Chile gets to the second round, we have tickets to that game. If they get to the quarterfinals, we have tickets to that game. If they get to the semifinals, we have tickets to that game. But only if Chile advances. If they don't advance, then we don't have tickets to the second round and quarterfinal, semifinal.
Like, are you traveling to different stadiums, I guess, or are you going to stay in one central place? Like, are you going to Manaus at all,
we're traveling to the way it worked out. The way the tickets that we got kind of dictated our trip. So when we applied for these tickets, we said, well, basically, we just said, let's try and apply for as many as we can and see what we get, because you could always reject them after. So the way it worked out is we applied for these tickets. So we got tickets to 8 different games in 6 different venues. So we'll be kind of hopping around Brazil. So we'll start in Brasilia for a game there. Yeah. So we're going to go see Switzerland and Ecuador, and then we move on to it, the next game in a city called Belo Horizonte. And then from there, we go down to Rio, and that's where we'll see Chile play Spain. And then we'll work our way up north to a town called Recife, and then to see Italy versus Costa Rica, and then we'll go up even further north to another town called Fortaleza, see another game, Germany-Ghana, and then we'll work our way back down to Sao Paulo. So we're kind of crisscrossing the entire country, so it's going to be an interesting adventure.
And FIFA didn't give you free flights and accommodations?
No, the flights, once you get to Brazil, weren't too bad.
Yeah.
Within Brazil, they're pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting to Brazil, I guess that was the big expensive cost. And the reason we're in New York is because it was a little cheaper to fly from New York to Brazil. And we came to New York on points as well on air miles. So basically we get free trip to New York, and then I think New York was a little cheaper.
I wonder, what's the most some one person can watch live games? Like, I know you've got a handful. You got a lot of games. I wonder what's the most that somebody can do.
It's interesting because there are games that are played on the same day in different venues.
Yeah.
So you look, if someone you could technically see a game every day of the World Cup. So that'd be 31 days, 31 games.
Yeah.
So. Because most of the games are played right after each other in different venues. So let's say you have a game. One game starts in Brasilia, for example, and then once that game is over, then the next game will start in a different city. So it'll be impossible to go to 2 games in one day. But, you know, if you're adventurous enough and you wanted to go to a game every day down there, you could probably see 30-some games.
Now, are you concerned about the allegations of corruption and construction and all the other problems that are going on in Brazil that we've been hearing?
A little bit. You know, you go down there and you hear all these stories about, you know, they're probably going to hand you a hammer when you get to the stadium because some of them aren't built, so they're going to need some help finishing them off or things like that. But, you know, I equate it to all the stories that you heard about Sochi, going to Sochi. You know, you heard all these horror stories about what's going to happen at the Olympics. And then, for the most part, you know, nothing really bad happened in Sochi. And from, you know, people I talked to, the experience they had in the Olympics, they had a great time at the Olympics. They thought it was fantastic and it was organized and well-run. I know there's going to be problems in Brazil, and there are always going to be problems, but I think... you know, this is such a huge event for FIFA, and this is their trademark event, and they don't want anything to go wrong. So I think, you know, we're going to go down there, and I think the safest time to go to Brazil will be during the World Cup, because I think there'll be a lot of security there. There'll be police forces from a lot of different countries, because there's a lot of different countries sending their own police forces just to kind of keep an eye out on their for their fans. So I think going to Brazil during the World Cup will probably be a lot safer than, you know, traveling to Brazil or South America, you know, when there's nothing going on.
What do you think about that stadium built in the jungle, the Manaus one?
Like, yeah, that one's a little interesting, you know, and I think, you know, that's another, you know, they talk about, you know, FIFA being corrupt and having so much power, and, you know, that's a lot of power to will. From what we hear, we're not going out to that stadium, but there's no roads out there, so you have to fly into the stadium, or, you know, you take a boat down the Amazon to get into the stadium. And it's going to be obviously a big white elephant when this is done. They built the stadium for four games. There's no team that plays out there in the Brazilian league, so it's basically after once the tournament is over, or those four games are over, I'm not sure what you're going to do with a multi-million-dollar stadium out in the middle of nowhere for no one to use. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, that one's, you know, that's that one. Something that shook a lot of heads. I'm not sure why Brazil wanted to have games. I think originally they scheduled to have games in nine cities, and then they expanded it to 12, trying to move the tournament around. But yeah, that one's interesting. You know, you build a huge stadium out there, and I think that's basically the, you know, the reason why there's a lot of protests. They look at the stadium and say, really, why did we need this stadium out here in the middle of nowhere when there's, you know, other social problems in Brazil that could have been, you know, that money could have gone to. And I think that's, you know, like one of the reasons where there's been so much protest leading up to the tournament.
And they're saying that half the world will be watching the World Cup.
This is a huge event. This is, you know, when you talk about interest in event, that, you know, the Olympics are huge as well, but you look at the Olympics and the events at the Olympics, there's really not that passion for. You know, you kind of see it with a general interest, the Olympics, but this is a passionate event with people, you know, they love their soccer and they love their national teams. And this is a really global event. You know, everyone really gets into it. It really watches it. It's been, you know, a passion of mine for a long, long time, the World Cup. So just getting to go to it now is kind of like a dream come true.
Now, can we have that passion here in Canada? I know that the Women's FIFA World Cup will be coming here soon, like next year. And is the World Cup ever, the Men's World Cup ever going to come to Canada? And is that the...
Well, Canada's trying to get it. They're going to try and, you know, in bid for one. I'm not sure which one it was, but I know that the CSA is looking at the possibility of bidding for an event in Canada. I think if it's going to be if it's ever going to come to Canada, it'll have to be a joint venture with the United States. So it'll be, you know, whether or not the United States is willing to share the World Cup if they get it again. I think they might get it again eventually. And so whether or not, you know, Toronto can get on that, or you know, Montreal or Edmonton or Vancouver can kind of get in. I'm not sure if Canada is equipped to handle the World Cup on its own. It's just that it's gotten so big, and you know, it's such a huge endeavor with stadiums and things like that, and transportation and hotels. And I'm not sure that the country itself can support a 32-team tournament of this magnitude. But I think if they can piggyback off it, you know, if the United States, if they have a bunch of venues and maybe, you know, some of it will filter up to Canada, I think that's the only way Canada is going to ever see a World Cup. But it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Canadians don't share that passion, but there's still, you look at, you know, the people that are going down to the World Cup, and outside of Brazilians, the number one group of fans, they're coming from the United States. So you see that the interest in the United States is that's the biggest group of fans coming, and Canada's number five.
Oh, wow.
According to FIFA. So that tells you how many Canadians are interested in the World Cup and how many are going down. So you look at Canada, they don't even have a team in the World Cup, and they have the fifth most group of fans coming down to see the tournament. So there is a lot of interest, and a lot of Canadians are interested in the tournament, you know, I think obviously because of where it was, I think a lot of people in North America said, well, this is our chance to go to it. So I think a lot of people are in the boat that we're in, is that, hey, if we're going to go to World Cup, this is the one that we have to go to.
Wow, that's a huge stat. That's an incredible stat, fifth
yeah.
fans. Basically, what do you say to the casual fan, or what do you say to that on the fence, soccer's whatever and all that stuff? What do you say to that person that's...
Well, I think the best way to watch a tournament is to kind of pick a team and go with it. And, you know, you look at the teams that are in it, and then you know, for whatever reason, for whatever reason why you like the team, it's best to, if you're just a casual fan and you watch a tournament, you might not know what exactly is going on or how the tournament functions, but if you pick a team, for example, if you say, oh, yeah, my great-great-grandfather was Dutch, or, you know, I have some Italian ancestry or whatever, and you follow that team and you get interested and you see what the group they're in and see when their group games are and see how far they get, I think that makes the tournament a lot more interesting, because when you have something riding on it, or when you're cheering for someone or you're behind someone, you know, that makes it a lot more interesting. And for the casual soccer fan that, you know, that maybe doesn't have a team, you know, you want to get on the Brazilian bandwagon, because they're probably going to go a long way, and, you know, and they're a pretty exciting team to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you have any predictions, or do you withhold your predictions for...
No. Well, it's going to be interesting. I think, personally, I think there's too much pressure on Brazil to win this tournament. And it's a very young team, and there's a lot of pressure on the team. And I equate it to the pressure that Canada had at the Olympics in Vancouver to win gold. And you look at all that pressure on that team. Now, multiply that by 100, and that's the pressure that is on these Brazilians to win the tournament. Because it's just because of, the culture of soccer in Brazil, and then, you know, the social climate in Brazil right now is that this is what they have to cling on to, is that national team. And I personally don't think they're the best team in the tournament. I think they'll do well. They'll go far. But my prediction, I think Argentina will win the tournament. Just the way it's set up, they have the best player in the world, and Lionel Messi. They have a very good team surrounding him, and I think it's just one of those things that it's all kind of coming together for Argentina. They got drawn into a very good group. They avoid Brazil basically all the way to the end, to the latter stages of the tournament. And so I predict the Brazil-Argentina final. I think Argentina will win it.
And who's your dark horse?
My dark horse, obviously, is Chile. I think the Chileans have a very good squad. Like, I follow them very closely, and I've been following them closely for a lot of years now. And I think this is – every country seems to have a golden generation of soccer players that come through and make it and kind of work their way up the system together and end up at the national team. And that's the case with this Chilean national team. And this Chilean national team is made up of a lot of the players that came to Canada to play in that 2007 under 20 World Cup. And Chile made it to the semifinals before losing to Argentina in that tournament. And basically, the same group of players went through that tournament, played together as under-20s, and then kind of worked their way up and now are playing on the national team level. So I think if they can get out of their group, because the group is so tough, they have basically the two finalists from 4 years ago in their group. They have Holland and Spain. If they can somehow manage to get out of that group and avoid Brazil in the second round, which will be tough as well, because if Brazil wins their group and Chile finish second in theirs, then they meet in the second round. So if they can somehow manage to win the group and avoid Brazil in that first start, in that second round, I think they have the capacity to go quite far. So they're going to be a good team. I think Belgium also comes in with that strong team, and they also have that, you know, what you call that golden generation of players as well. And I think a lot of people are looking at Belgium, and you look at the group that they're in, and you're like, okay, that's a group that didn't come out of. So I think Belgium can go far as well. So and that's another team. If people aren't sure who to jump on board, have a look at the Belgians, because I think they have a team that's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, that's great. So, Derek, let's give props to your blog, so people can follow along through the Edmonton Sun, correct? Like on your blog and whatnot?
You can find it on the Edmonton Sun website. And, they did a great job there setting up the blog and things like that. So I will be, once I get down there and get set up and see how to file stories and things like that, I'll be basically trying to send, trying to blog about the adventures probably.
Cool.
I'm trying to get maybe 3 times a week, 4 times a week, just basically depending on what it has. And just get a sense of what's it like to be down at a tournament like this and to be at a World Cup in Brazil. Brazil is, they're crazy about the sport. It's the number one sport in the country. And, we're getting a chance to go to the Maracanã Stadium, which is, the mecca of soccer. This is where, everyone that ever has kicked a soccer ball would love to go to, because, that's the stadium one of the premier stadiums in the world in Brazil, in Rio. So it's going to be very interesting. And, yeah, you can follow it on the EdmontonSun.com website.
So, yeah, okay, cool. And then we just search for Derek Van Dijk. Is that right? Or
well, you go up there, and you, I think they'll try to promote it prominently. So you probably will see it on the first page there when I do blog entries. And then I think you can go to the sports section and find it there as well. So you just go to EdmontonSun.com, and then if it's not on the old front page of the website, and you just click onto the sports section, and it'll be there.
Cool. I wonder if Pelé is going to be making an appearance today during the open ceremony.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he will be.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I'm sure they're going to, you know, all the greats, the Brazilian greats, I'm sure will be there.
Yeah.
Today, you know, the past, you know, Ronaldo's and Ronaldinho's and all those great players of the past. Well, as many as they can get, they'll probably end up at the opening ceremony today.
Cool. So, hey, what's the average price of a ticket then? And are you able to buy some from scalpers, or is that
well? We got our tickets online, like we got them through FIFA, and you know it's very tough. Scalping is illegal in Brazil, and so you know that's one thing you probably don't want to toy around with is ending up breaking a law in a foreign country. But we paid. There's different categories of tickets. Obviously, it depends where you're seating. I think we paid an average of about $150 a ticket.
That's okay.
We're doing the 8 tickets of basically where we were sitting and then moving on to the second round. I think those were a little more expensive. But I think tickets were, on average, they're about $150 each.
And nobody has experienced true sport live other than going to a soccer game. Like, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like the atmosphere of going to a football game.
And it's half the experience is being there and being among the fans and watching them chant and sing, because you know it's a very interactive sport. You know, you're sitting there and you're watching it, and there's no real breaks in soccer. It's, you know, 45 minutes you go in continuous and another 45 minutes continuous. But the fans, the way you know, they chant and they sing and the color, and that's part of the experience of being there. So even if you're not a huge soccer fan, you go to the stadium, it's just a surreal experience just being there and watching and see how interactive the fans are in the game. And I think you notice the fans a lot more in soccer than you would in other sports, just because of you know, the way they interact with the game and the way they chant and they sing for their teams. And it's quite the experience. I experienced it a little bit at the European Championships in 2008. I've been to some games in Europe. I have a friend that lives in Liverpool. Went to a Liverpool game once. I've been to some games in South America, and you know, yeah, the experience itself is just unbelievable. So we can't wait to get down there and see what it's like. When 80,000 people at the Maracanã Stadium are there, you know, chanting on their teams.
Oh, are you glad that the Vuvuzela is gone? Or
yeah, I think so. I think we are. I think that made watching the game a little annoying and tough. And you know, even on TV, I remember 4 years ago in South Africa, after a while it got kind of annoying just hearing that constant buzz of the Vuvuzelas and constant buzz. So this will be better, because you'll be able to hear the fans, and you'll be able to hear the fans chant and sing, and I think that'll come across really well on TV, and you'll see how interactive they are in the game and how much involved they are in the game. I think 4 years ago, that just the sound of the Vuvuzelas just drowned out everybody, and you really couldn't get a feel for the fans singing and chanting and what that's like. And I think this one will come across great, you know, very clearly how into the game the fans are.